Let's track back through a bunch of the things that you talked about, because there's just been so many new things in CLL. But the first thing you mentioned was that particularly in older patients, you think about chlorambucil and obinutuzumab. Could you talk a little bit about what obinutuzumab is, how it compares to rituximab, and why we're using this rather than rituximab, at least in this combination?
So obinutuzumab is the first type 2 CD20-directed antibody, and it's engineered to bind more tightly to CD20 and enhances cell killing by other immune cells. So we know that in comparison to rituximab, it works better in CLL. In particular, CLL doesn't have as high response rates to rituximab as a single agent as other subtypes of non-Hodgkin lymphoma, probably because of the density of CD20 on the surface, and it's usually dim. So we have made the move to using obinutuzumab in older patients, and it is associated with infusion reactions like rituximab. And those infusion reactions happen on the first time you give the drug, so you have to watch people pretty carefully. Once they get through that, it tends to be very well tolerated.
Can you talk a little bit more about the infusion reaction with obinutuzumab qualitatively? Is this pretty much the same thing as rituximab? How often is it such a problem that, you know, you have to maybe think about stopping the therapy? And any other toxicities that have been seen with this drug?
So I think the infusion reactions with obinutuzumab, there are more hypotension and sort of as a consequence of the infusion compared to rituximab. Rituximab, we usually see hives and itchy skin and that sort of thing, but with obinutuzumab, it can be a little bit more dramatic, and you really need to watch particularly older patients very carefully. I think if you pre-medicate patients who have difficulty with that initial infusion with steroids for several days, you know, relatively high-dose steroids, you can really mitigate that infusion reaction, and most patients can then go on to receive the drug. But I think you need to educate the patient and work very closely with the infusion nurses in terms of what to expect, because it is a little bit different than the reactions we see with rituximab.
So you also talked about FCR, fludarabine, cyclophosphamide, rituximab, particularly in younger patients where, as you said, trying to launch a patient into a remission that won't require any treatment. Can you talk a little bit about the kinds of toxicities you see with FCR and why it is that it's really not given in older patients?
So the major toxicity we worry about with FCR is the myelosuppression. And even in our younger patients in their 50s, oftentimes they become quite cytopenic by the end of 6 cycles, and they can have pancytopenia. They can have delayed recovery of those counts. So that's something in a patient who's older, who may have some underlying trouble with their stem cells, it can be quite profound. The other issue with FCR, with a fludarabine-containing regimen, it affects T cells significantly, so you need to prophylax patients for zoster and for pneumocystis. And I think, in general, patients with CLL have a very high risk of developing zoster, so I'm always sort of looking for a reason to put them on indefinite antivirals.